This chazar zechinish b'chazar shagam from Yehudim zechinish b'mitzia daf yotes zok to Gemara. The price is that if a person finally get in the marketplace, if the husband admits that he divorced his wife, it should be given to her. If he doesn't admit so, it should not be returned to either party. Why do we give it to the wife when the husband admits to it? Maybe it was pre-written, in which case the wife will be able to sue for return of produce from her fields that was sold by the husband between the written date and the actual date it was given. Now this makes sense according to the view that once a husband decides to divorce his wife, he no longer is entitled to the produce from her property, so it actually was improperly sold by him, Taka. However, according to the view that he's entitled to the produce until he actually gives it a get, why don't we have this concern? And for the Gemara, when the wife sues for the produce, we make her bring proof as to when the get was actually received by her. Why is the get returned when found and a loan document is not? Why don't we also just make the creditor prove when the document was actually received by him? And for the Gemara, when we're dealing with a get, the buyer of the produce will reason that the rabbanon authorized the get to be returned to her, so that she not be an aguna, but there's still a possibility that was pre-written. Therefore, he'll demand proof of when the get was actually received. Regarding a loan document, the purchaser of the land will reason if the rabbanon allowed its return, they did so only to allow for collection of encumbered properties, and the rabbanon must therefore have decided that the date as written is proper. Therefore, he will not demand proof of receipt. The Mishnah says, Shechure Avadim v'chulu. A bright says, if someone found a Shtar Shechur in the marketplace, if the master admits that he freed his slave, it should be given to the slave. If he does not admit to it, it should not be returned to either party. In fact, remember, why do we give it to the slave if the master admits to it? Maybe it was pre-written, and after it was written, but before it was given, the slave purchased land, which, because he's a slave, belongs to the master. And the master then went and sold that land. And when the slave then gets Shtar Shechur, he'll go and sue for return of the land, claiming he was free when the master sold it. And it was therefore his, and the master therefore had no right to sell it. Now, this makes sense according to the view that it's beneficial for a slave to go out free, and according to Abaya, who says that the witnesses signing the document are koinet for him. However, according to the view that it's detrimental for him to go out free, why don't we have the concern? And for the Gemara, when the slave sues for the return of the property, the buyer will demand that he bring proof as to when the Shtar Shechur was actually received by him. The Mishnah then said, Daitiki matana v'chula. Bryce explains the word daitiki is a contradiction of the words, this shall be to establish and continue. And it's used by a person who is dying to say that if he dies, his property should be given to whoever he lists in the document. The term matana refers to a gift that is given to take effect today and after I die. Fekhmer, does that mean to say that a simple immediate gift is ineffective? Abaya said, the Braisa is trying to give a scenario of a gift of a healthy person that's like the gift of a sick person. That scenario is where a healthy person gives a gift today and after I die. In that case, the beneficiary will only be koine after the death of the one who made the gift. It seems that the Mishnah says not to return these documents because the giver didn't say give it to them. But had he said give it to them, we would return it. However, Braisa says that we don't return a daitiki or a gift document even if both agree that it was given. And for the Gemara of Abba Mamel said, our Mishnah is talking about the gift of a person who is dying who may take back the gift at any point before he dies. And this Braisa is talking about the gift of a healthy person which cannot be retracted. And we're concerned that maybe this document was actually not given. He instead gifted the property to somebody else. And by returning this earlier dated document, now he's defrauding the true gift recipient. If the one making the gift insists that he truly never gave it to anyone else, we tell him, go ahead, write a new document now for this beneficiary, and the result will be the same. Fekmar of Zuda asked, the Braisa also mentions the Daitiki. So how can you say it's not discussing a gift of a person who is dying? And for the Gemara of Zuda therefore said, the Mishnah and the Braisa are both discussing the gift of a person who is dying. The Mishnah is discussing where the gift maker says to return it, and we therefore do so. Since he can legally retract the gift before his death, we don't need to be concerned that he's defrauding anybody. And the Braisa is discussing where the son of the gift maker says to return it, and we therefore don't return it, because if it's after the gift maker's death and the gift can no longer be retracted, we therefore have to be concerned that there's a true recipient with a later document who will be defrauded. Zakhtamara Bryce says, if a person finds a receipt that a wife wrote to her husband for the payment of her ksuba, if the woman admits to being paid, it should be returned to her husband. If she does not admit to it, it should not be returned to either party. Fekmara, why would we return it to the husband if the wife admits to it? We should be concerned that it was pre-written and not given until a later date, and she then went and sold her ksuba between the written date and the giving of the documents, that she actually has no right to collect the ksuba because she sold the right to somebody else, and the husband will then go and refuse to pay the buyer of the ksuba if he then divorces his wife, because he will produce the pre-written receipt. And for the Gemara, Rava said, we see from this Braisa a proof to Shmuel, who says that even if someone sells an obligation that he has coming to him, he may still be meichel and cancel it. Therefore, if the wife wanted to free the husband of the payment obligation, she could just have been meichel without having to rely on this receipt. Second Teretz Abaya said, without resorting to Shmuel, we can say that the reason the Braisa allows for return of the receipt is because the ksuba document is in the possession of the wife. Rava said, having the ksuba would not be enough of a proof for us, because we would be concerned that the husband may have written the second ksuba. Abaya said, we're not concerned for a second ksuba. And also, the reason we can return the pre-written receipt even if it wasn't given to him until a later date is because the receipt takes effect from the day it was written, not only from the date it was given. Abaya follows his own reasoning, as he holds that the signing of the witnesses is kind of for the benefits of the document for the recipient.